CliffCentral.com.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with Siyabonga Bailey. Live on Cliff Central.
Oi, oi! This is Siyabonga Bailey.
Back, I thought you were going to say Spudalo.
No, no, no. DJ Spoo still thinks we know that he's in Zega Zega, but we know.
You just said he thinks that we know.
Yes. What was I saying?
You wanted to say he doesn't think that we know, but we know.
But we know. Hey, George. We are in Gaga, George. But anyways, welcome to another installment of the Threaded Exchange. Last week, I had a team meeting, and I was like, guys, my team and I, we have to make this show more dynamic, more better. We have to make it bigger. We have to change the scope of our audience. So, and the scope of our guests. And today we've got a very interesting young lady, very beautiful, intelligent, doing incredible things. She's an entrepreneur and she works in an industry that I do not know much about, food.
I know a lot about it because, well, I eat a lot.
Also, that's, I think that's the only
thing I know a lot about the food eating industry.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that I know in terms of food. I just know how to consume it. I don't know how to.
I mean, I think that's all we really need to know, Sia. What more do you need to know? We don't need to know the intricacies.
I think I also know how to use food for like sexual stuff.
Let's not go
like whipped cream.
No. See, it's honey. 11 in the morning. It's a Monday.
Honey and stuff like strawberries. You know. I have a date tomorrow and I'm going to make use of food very well. Sim, do you make use of food during intercourse? Or, you know, when you do the things?
I'm not going to engage this conversation because we are at a place of work.
We're a place of work. This is Cliff Central after all. It's about being on radio. And we're going to talk about everything and anything, but I'm not going to put you on the spot. Anyways, did you watch the Summers this weekend?
No, I didn't. I was too busy doing other things.
Why didn't you watch the Summers this weekend?
First of all, I don't watch TV much. Actually, I don't watch TV at all. But I mean, I managed to obviously follow on social media what people were wearing, what people were saying, what went wrong, what went a little bit right. I mean, I know as much as Twitter knows, so I didn't really watch it.
Like Twitter.
Yes, just to clarify.
Yeah. And also, like, I think when I went to the awards this weekend and everyone was asking me about the tweets that I've made regarding, you know, me criticizing award shows and the fact that I didn't star the Summers this year as everyone expected. And I feel like on the show exclusively, I want to dive into that a little bit. So, you know, my thread was about the
you
following.
Like spies.
I'm
and
not
you
spicy.
Like, you like being salty.
I'm delivering news to the people. What many people don't know is I, as a consumer, also used to, you know, criticize the Summers. Why are these celebrities badly dressed? Who's styling the dancers in the show? Everything is so crap. And as you know, Sim, last year we did the Summers. And you find out that the Summers themselves, or Sam, is it Samro, right?
Babes, I don't know. I just get there and I work.
Those guys contract a production company along with the SABC to put the show together. Give people an insight. To put the show together, and it's up to the production company to necessarily invest in the wardrobe, the styling, and, you know, getting the right people to put this award show together. And as we found last year, I mean, people don't know this, but we did the Summers, you know, at a loss last year. You know, people thought we made billions of money or millions of money from it. But if you've worked with government before or those kind of projects, you know, like, you don't make money. But we did it because we wanted to show people, you know, what a proper wardrobe and styling looks like. As you saw last year, you saw the host looking dope, you saw the dancers looking dope, you saw, you know, the performers looking dope, and we really had to fight for that to come to life. And we did a couple more after that. We did the Mamas, we did the SAFTAs as well. SA Sports Awards, and even those, like, SA Sports Awards was probably the one we made profit of because it was not...
Yeah, it was... I still say that was my favorite in terms of, like, the scope, and just in terms of, like, people just left us alone to just do what we do.
Yeah.
There wasn't like saying, okay, what are you guys doing? Like, always constantly having to prove ourselves. I think that's what I enjoyed the most about the sports awards. I think what people saw on TV, I don't know, could have been different. But in terms of the processes behind wardrobe, I think those are my favorite.
Yeah. So this year it came again. We were doing the Summers. And then when the conversation came, it simply boiled down to the fact that the production company that was doing the CS Summers didn't think it was worth it to spend, you know, the right money on wardrobe. I'm not even afraid. I'm even afraid to discuss, to release the number. But basically, the amount of money they want us to do us for wouldn't even be enough to make Somizi one outfit. So necessarily, we couldn't do the summers. So what I'm trying to say, guys, when you see your hosts on TV, don't blame them. It's not their fault. Like, you know, because there's no wardrobe department, and to get these things custom made is quite expensive. So the only celebrities that can afford to spend that kind of money is your Somizi and your Bonangs, because, I mean, they charge like a mil a gig. So they can allocate money to wardrobe. But a lot of other hosts and nominee presenters can't do that, and they have to run this in their own cost. And also, did you know that when you get invited to the summers, you have to pay for your own accommodation as well?
Like, what do you mean when you get invited?
You have to pay for your own accommodation.
Like, do you mean like the presenters, or do you mean like...
Like,
I'm a guest of SABC One, for instance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're a high executive, they'll pay for you. But if, for example, your name is Simunga Ndlangisa, you're nominated for Best Engineered Album.
No, so the nominees.
You have some of them. Not all of them, but some of them. You have to pay. Like, majority of people that attend the summers actually pay for themselves. So,
I'm sure.
Yeah. That is what it is. But moving on from that, I think the summers were great. For me, the performances were actually quite boring. Not the artists themselves, but I felt they were not as dynamic as I thought they would be. But I really enjoyed Somizi and Dumi. Like, flipping hell, they brought down the house. The jokes, the shade, the sauciness, it was everything I could dream of. It was incredible, incredible, incredible.
Maybe I must watch. There's a live stream that I saw, so maybe I must go and see it.
Yeah.
Just for some easy end to me, because you said so.
Yeah, you have to watch it. But let's move on to today. We know a young lady called Luyanda. Luyanda runs a company called Cooking with Uluyanda, and she's a food blogger and an up-and-coming chef. People hate the word up-and-coming. People were like, stop saying she's up-and-coming, say it's established. The reason why I'm saying it's up-and-coming is because I'm recognizing her success, but I feel that she has more that she's going to do, you know, and that there's more levels she's going to rise.
She's like nodding like, yes, y'all ain't ready.
There's more levels she's going to climb to. So by me saying she's established, I'm sort of saying she's peaked before she's even gotten started, man. Uluyanda, I've known her for quite a while in the Johannesburg scene. And she's always cooked, shared her cooking moments on Twitter, on Facebook. And
I'm always crying.
And we're always crying, but because this girl is just doing the most. And it's just
one is making us those meals.
Yeah.
I'm hacked.
Like, Luyanda, come on, dude. And so over the last year, I've really seen her take her cooking from a hobby and something she enjoyed into an actual career. She started a blog that goes by the same name, and now she's cooking for ministers. She's now cooking for events. She's now cooking for photo shoots. Shout out to the Threaded Man. And, you know, in the industry, I've never seen someone in terms of, you know, a cook or a chef take this direction. Most of the chefs that I know, for example, I know them because of TV, for example, for MasterChef. But it's very rare to see a chef's career unfold before your eyes.
Yeah, taking the digital route.
Exactly. We've got Lazy Makoti, but Lazy Makoti is a bit different. Her journey has also just been a bit different because it hasn't been social media based. But Uluyanda, the way she's built her business, her following, and just, you know, people vouching for her and getting gigs off the internet is quite interesting. So I want to dive into her business. I want to dive into how do you take your hobby and turn it into a career as a black woman. Is it viable as a career? And, you know, I also want to find out from her about the stereotypes. You know what I'm saying? You know very well that it's always about women belonging in the kitchen. But for me, the way that I see Luyanda, she's cooking, but she's running a business. And I want to, you know, understand from her, do the men that she comes across understand that her being a cook doesn't mean she's just being a cook. Her being a cook is actually being a business. And yeah, just diving into that and diving into the challenges of that and finding out whether or not it's a lucrative career. So straight after this song. So, hey, George, I'm like this morning. I think I'm suffering. But I want to play a new track by Frank Cassino called Family. Because at the end
you're like in love with Frank.
No, because at the end of the day,
like, it's okay. So
at the end of the day, we make money to feed our families, you know. And I'm sure Uluyanda is making money to feed her family and the future of her family. So here's a new track by Ricky Rick and Frank Cassino, and it's titled Family. Your favorite rapper's a stan. Your favorite rapper's my fan. Yes, it's Siya Beile live on the Threaded Exchange, the best show on Cliff Central, if I can say. Am I allowed to say that? I feel like Rena and Gareth are going to, you know, give me a word after this. But I feel like this is focusing on Africans who are doing incredible things, Africans who are going to fly, Africans who are going to change the world, and this is a platform for them to share their stories. And I'm just here to facilitate conversation and just listen. And today, we've got a special, special guest, the beautiful, the amazing, future billionaire of food, the next Oprah of food, bigger and better, from Africa, South African, Luyanda, who's the founder of Cooking with Luyanda, a food blogger, as well as an up-and-coming private chef. Luyanda, is that an accurate intro?
Yeah, that's very accurate, because you definitely said I'm going to slay, I'm going to be a billionaire, and sounds about right, because that's how it's going to go.
Yeah. I also feel like I've been on this like spiritual journey where I want to connect more with myself, and I've realized that one of the best things, besides working hard for things, it's also very important to manifest them in your thoughts, you know, to be like, this is where I'm going, and I'm confident, and I trust in my journey. So when I say you're going to be a food billionaire, trust and believe in that. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, otherwise, why are you doing this?
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
And I believe it myself. I'm working on a lot of things, because you can't sit and wait. You're definitely going to, I'm going to make it happen. And food billionaire sounds very accurate. That's where I'm going.
Before we get into the interview, where's the food? I feel like we have a food, we have a chef in studio, a food blogger, but akukokuya. Like, what are you doing?
See, guys, I was studying for exams, so multitasking and balancing was a bit tough. But I will surprise you in the studio next week and bring a meal for you and your next guest, perhaps.
Yeah. Okay, deal.
Is that fair?
That's deal. Fair. So, Luyanda Mafanya, is that how I say your name?
Yes, that's how you say it.
Tell us, man, like, you're saying you're studying, you're tweeting that you need a house in Cape Town for 25,000 for 1 month. You are going to Durban cooking for ministers in beautiful houses. Tell me about, like, can you just, who are you? What is it that you actually do?
Okay.
Let's start there.
Okay, my name is Luyanda. I am 23 years old. I'm a food blogger. I'm a private chef.
23.
And I'm 23. And so I've always had the cooking bug. I've always cooked. My dad was a good cook. My gran, the ultimate of cooks. And we're just a food type of family. So last year, I started cooking in 2014 properly in my house in Mill Park Mews, studying at UJ. And obviously, I was posting with my 5C and taking pics of the food.
What's a 5C now? iPhones that look like all sorts.
The one that had a color at the back.
Oh, the cheaper version.
I don't even know what it looks like.
Okay. Guys.
So, but it was still an iPhone. Don't make it sound like you were being cheap.
Yeah, no,
it was not
an
a Motorola with a. You were actually taking a picture with an iPhone.
So I used to take pics, and people were like, okay, that looks nice. And this is mediocre pics with bad lighting. And I'm like, okay, I need to do better. So I deleted all my pics. And then last year, I told one of my good friends, like, yo, I want to start this blog. I want to do better. I want to have good quality pictures. He's like, okay, cool. I will give you this much money, and you'll get started. Get what you need. I got myself a camera, bought some equipment, bought nicer plates, bought nicer pots. And then I just started cooking properly and improving on recipes and getting my images right, getting my lighting right. And then now, yeah, people were very keen on that, and it ended up, someone was like, one of my friends that I'm my flatmate now, she asked me to come on a job with her. She's a chef as well, and she was like, oh, please come work with me to see how it is to be a private chef. And she was cooking for Sashi Naidu, and I was like, oh, okay, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And we did a dinner party for them, and I was like, okay, yeah, this is definitely what I want to do.
Yeah.
I have,
but When this thing for you was a hobby and you're cooking all these meals, were you cooking these meals for your mans, or was it, were you always just
genuine? Why are you making it about a man? See,
no.
She said she likes cooking.
I'm just saying, in terms of, like, when I look at your food, you put in so much effort. It looks like an event is happening every day in your life.
The funny thing
how do you get to a point of being like, I'm gonna, every meal I eat, I'm gonna fucking cook it like to the littest level. So I just want to understand mentally, how do you get to that level? Is it through practice? You know, all these things that you cook, man, I'm like, how does this lady do this?
No, man, I usually find inspiration. Like, the weirdest thing is I found inspiration at the shop. So I literally sit at, I can be at Woolworths for more than 2 hours because I'll walk past, like, the meat section, the produce section, and I'm like, oh, let me try this. So that's how, actually, that's how I usually find inspiration. I chill at grocery stores. Okay, that's chill. But I usually,
that is the weirdest thing ever.
That's chill. I would say chill. But, like, let's say, I'm like, oh, today I feel like a burger. And you'll see, I'll end up at Woolworths ready to buy. And then plot twist, you pass the butchery, the fishmonger. And you're like, oh, my God, let me try this. Yeah. That's how it usually works. And funny enough, I never eat my food. I make other people eat it. So,
really?
Yeah. So
we can eat your food.
Yeah.
We can eat any day. Like
just I think after the effort of plating, getting decorating the scene, taking pictures, you're just like, okay. So
I see. But it looks so good.
But I think that's one of the things that I also wanted to ask you. I mean, because now you're doing this as a career with your studies, don't you get sick of being around food? Because I mean, I work around clothes. Clothes never really smell anything, but food is always.
But you still get excited about like new collections. Be like, oh my god, like Daily Paper just dropped this new thing.
So I want to understand, where does excitement come from you? Like, and do you love food? Like to eat it?
I love food. I love it. But the funny, but I can't eat my own, so I don't get tired of my food. I guess I won't get tired of food because I'll end up buying takeaway. Or eating something simple, you'll just see me eating bread with aromat and egg.
Yeah.
What?
And I'm good. But the passion to be creative, to explore, it's just from deep inside. So I don't think I'll ever get tired because I always want to do better, experiment more. And I still think I'm really, you guys say these pics are great, and I really think I am lemon and herb. Compared
really?
To, yeah,
but
where
I mean,
I could
that's
be.
That's a really great attitude to have because you always want to improve, you always want to do better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I look at other bloggers and I'm like, damn, how much do you pay for that equipment?
Speaking of equipment, you were saying that you started out and you bought a lot of equipment. Like, as a student, like, how much of an investment does that require? And, like, how long do you have to save? And do you have to, like, approach, like, people who can help you with capital? So, like, what does it take to be able to say, okay, this is what I want to do, but I need this kind of injection to make it happen?
Basically, I think if anyone sits with me and hears me talk about food, they can hear my passion. So one of my good friends, I hit him up. I'm like, okay, I really want to improve. I want to improve my food blogging and get this done right. And he's like, okay, cool. I'll help you out. I'll give you this much money. Okay, 20K. I can tell you guys. He's not listening because he'll drag me. Give me 20K. And he's like, I start up with this. Bought a camera, I think it was like 6K, and then the rest was like food equipment. So food equipment is like food props. People don't realize when you need food images, how an image is brought about. You need like the spoon. Sometimes a spoon needs to look good. The pot, the background glasses, the plates that you use need to be a certain, like to get different shapes, get different patterns. Get tablecloths, wood. People have like proper wood, cut out wood, and then you use it as your background. So like things like that, you need to start building and collecting, so that to improve the image. So I bought some equipment of that, and I just guess I splurge. I won't even lie. I actually would rather not have data and buy a really pretty plate. The other time I saw this marble looking plate, I was like, oh, this looks so good. It's on one of your pictures of the pasta on the marble plate, like that.
Oh, wow.
You need to start collecting things like that, because
where's it from? I need it
at home. I have everything in marble.
But diving deeper into your strategy, I mean, you've seen the whole blogging thing take off with fashion, and you know, everybody's into this lifestyle thing. But I love how you sort of stuck to cooking, but you adopted sort of blogger skills. Tell us a bit more about that. Because every day you post a meal, 30 retweets, 50 retweets, 100 retweets. You know, was that a strategy in your mind to be like, okay, cool. I see all these people doing the fashion thing. Let me get the same quality pictures, but let it be food.
Yeah, because you look at how you can reach other people and how you can connect to other crowds. And you guys have clean pictures, clean images, clean, like everything was clean. That's another reason I got a camera, so that when I take the picture, when I edit, when it comes out, it looks good. It looks like it's a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And then it can, and people relate to it more and retweet more because they think, okay, she just made this at home. She took this by herself. This is not a magazine. This is not a restaurant.
We really
this
just like retweet because we're hungry. And it looks so good.
I think it just looks really good. That's what
it
I'm
looks
saying.
Amazing.
Like, I've seen a lot of people, you know, who are really good cooks take pictures and post online, but I'm not like, oh, that looks yummy. I'm like, oh, this is great looking food. But for some reason with you, it's just like, oh my God, this is what I feel like right now.
Mm.
And it looks really
good.
Yeah,
I remember someone
time.
Said, I make food that they can make at home.
Yes.
And that's how they relate.
Yeah.
So they're like, your food is really good because it's, if I can also go whip up a burger, I can go make a steak like that. It's not things that are so far-fetched that you'll be like, oh, some film with
that's
like whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really what I loved about, you know, your page and like how you handle your social media is that you make meals that are not like you're not going to make a meal and then there's two pieces of meat and then the rest is just dressing that you use to decorate the plate.
Yeah.
To get what I'm saying, we know that you're skilled in what you do, but it's the fact that you make meals where I can say, ah, I also have steak in my fridge, I also have this pasta.
Yeah.
I can do it like her also. And I think that's a quality that, you know, you should never lose because that's how you get people to engage.
Yeah.
No, I definitely think, you know, your strategy in terms of, you know, posting food and making it look the way it does, it's incredible. And for me, it's even much deeper than that because the timing of when you post, it's almost like at lunchtime, you post like the perfect lunch meal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is, I'm hungry. This is exactly what I need. You won't post like a whole bowl of pasta at 12. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
You always post what's prevalent to the time.
And the funny thing is I don't even plan it. It literally, I think it's because I plan on lighting. So I think I actually cook during the day so that I have the best natural lighting.
Yeah.
So it just happens that it's lunchtime and then I post when you guys are hungry, but never planned.
Okay.
I have a question from Mikhail_Brown91. He wants to know, when are you going to cook for Whitney and him? Whitney is Mikhail's girlfriend. So
oh my gosh.
So he's trying to
say fiance.
He's trying to find out, were you going to do like a date type of thing for them and just do like a personalized menu.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. Mikhail, please also exit my DMs asking me to cook for you guys.
No, cook
okay.
for the kids. If
okay.
they're going to pay.
Honestly, yeah. Are you going to pay, Mikhail? Because if you pay, I'll do the best 2-3-course dinner for you and your girl. You'll even propose that day and I'll be there to witness it. I'll even
there
put the
we
ring.
Go.
I'll even put the ring somewhere in the dish. I'm being excited.
Okay, now the challenge lies with Mikhail. Mikhail has to set it up. He must propose.
And make
and
the
he
booking.
Must, he must book Luyanda.
And Mikhail's got money. He's got that Cuban money. So
Skr-skr.
He's going to book you. But I still want to find out from you about your monetization. I still also want to find out from you about booking your clients. Do people pay you for what you do? And what are your challenges as being an entrepreneur? But I have such an exciting new song. I know that people are going to listen to the podcast won't be able to hear it, but for your record, I'm going to play Prince KB, the Tembisa Funk remix. It's the best thing I've heard since I was born. Isn't that just amazing?
I think maybe that is the best song I have had, like,
oh,
in
yeah.
the longest time.
Definitely went in. We can go to Taboo now. Let's go.
Yeah, guys. I don't
and
know.
It's like around the corner.
I don't know why, guys. I just feel this brand new excitement, you know, where I'm like, God has given me the space to do what I love, and I just need to give it my all. And I'm so excited to be back here on the Thread Exchange, just giving it its life, you know, its juice, its the sauce that Luyanda puts on her food to make sure it tastes extra good. So, Luyanda, let's jump right into it. Do people want to pay for your services? What are the struggles of you pursuing this career?
Yeah, my black clients.
Your black clients.
So definitely paying
drag
is
us.
Like
drag us.
Paying is like you have to first explain why I'm charging this.
Mm.
You have to say, oh, ingredients cost this much. Oh, I hired this. And then they just don't get it.
Yeah.
Then they want to shortchange you. They want discounts, or they'll pay less, or. It's my friend, man.
Give me 30%.
Yeah, it's very difficult because I know if Susan had said had come through with the same service and she said 10K, you'd be like, okay, cool, I'm transferring now. But because it's Luanda, it's like, oh, okay, Sisi, can you do this? And then you know when people start speaking vernac and they try to no. That's the only thing I can say is very difficult because. People just want to be difficult with their money, not knowing that you're also making a living and you're also providing a service. Another thing is people also don't understand it's a specialized service because there's this one client that wanted to pay me, wanted me private chef like for like every day of the week for the whole month.
Wow, that's other kinds of racks.
Yeah. And then she said, okay, I'll pay you 2,000 rand for the month.
Can I actually let's jump into a very controversial and big problematic issue, and it's something that I find, you know, quite challenging as well as a black entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Let's not shy away from the fact that in the black community, black people don't want to see other black people rise. Even if they do want to see black people rise, they're not willing to pay for our services.
Exactly.
Why is that? And it's something that I forgot who this lady is. She wrote that book last year when she talked about black suppliers.
Oh, you know, Lerato,
where she said, I can see why it was misconstrued what she was saying, but same way when you have a black supplier or a black customer as a black business, it's so tricky. The black customer wants a discount because it's like, yo, come on through. I know you. We know each other. Then a supplier will be like, see, as my bra, man. It's my bra. I'll do the job next week, Friday. When Sia calls, yo, my dude, I really need you to do this. It's like, relax, man. I've got this. And then you're like, yeah, but don't act all fresh just because you have money. It becomes that thing. And it's like, what is it about us as the black community that we don't want to support our own?
I think just to be a devil's advocate as well. I've seen dealing with, you know, operations at the Thread Man, I've seen a lot of the same thing from your corporate clients as well. There's a lot of, and I think it maybe has to do with us being a young company, us being a black company. There's the sense that we need to prove why we are the ones that must do the service for you, whereas you're the one that approached us, you know, and you asked us for a quote, and when we quote you, suddenly now it's a problem because you don't feel that we are worth this amount. So I just wanted to throw that in there because I've seen it as much as you guys have seen it happening in the black community. I've seen it just as much with, you know, your white corporate companies at the same time.
True.
Yeah.
No, it's there, and it's really disheartening and tiring because obviously I would choose to work in a new black home with people that are successful, but it's those homes where it's like you have to fight for money. Oh, this is how much this is. Oh, but how much? No, listen, if you want the service, you should be able to pay for it, and that's the most difficult thing I deal with. And now I've actually now need to keep on changing how I do invoices to try avoid being short change. So every time I have to edit something, because you'll find that people will cancel at the last minute. Now you have to say, okay, this is a non-refundable booking fee now, because I take away my time and
messing up a
day, and then you decide the week before that, oh no, I don't want this anymore. So now you have to keep on adding things like it's non-refundable booking fee. This you can't do. Like, it's a lot. And but I've actually gotten really good clients who'll be like, how much is it? Okay, what's your banking details? Quick. And it's such a breeze working with people like that, because they trust you. They know that you're going to do the job. They know you're not going to shortchange them. You're going to give them the service. And that's what I actually enjoy working for and doing.
Yeah. I think also on my end, this is something I want to tell young black entrepreneurs, including myself, is that know the value of what you have. And I think the moment you compromise, or the moment you say, yeah, I'll bring down the rate, yes, I'll chop and change it, I'll cut it by half, or I'll cut it by 5% or 10%, the moment you've done that, you've lost.
Exactly.
I think one of the biggest mistakes I've made in my business is over the years, you know, people not wanting to pay me, being like, let's build the relationship, and being like, yeah, sure, let's build the relationship. And while I'm building the relationship, I'm spending my money on the relationship, yes, making all these huge losses. And 2-3 years later, when I'm like, yo, dude, I've been with you, we've been working together, but you haven't paid me, I've been spending my money, people go, ah, dololo.
Exactly.
No, when it's time for them to shop, they go dollar. So as a young entrepreneur, if your fee is 10K, it's 10K. Not, it doesn't change for anybody, not even family, not even friends. Because the moment you do that, you compromise your brand and the value of what you're doing.
Exactly.
If they're not going to pay, then rather don't take the money.
If someone says they can't afford like the budget, I'm like, okay, cool.
Then don't.
Let me cut out the meat that you wanted. Let me cut out this. And you'll see people start like getting shook because they'll be like, oh, can I have prawn, a fillet? And then I say, what's your budget? Okay, no, this is not gonna work. Okay, you'll have to have, you know, now you're
giving
them
steam bread.
You'll have steam bread, and you will see them change real quick because now they can see. I'm like, how much do you think prawns are?
Yeah,
like if you go to the shops, and I love people that say to you, oh, let me rather do the shopping. Please, actually, so you can go through the aisles, choose the ingredients, and see how much it is. Because people that do that also try to catch you out. They think that you are trying to
you're lying
about what you're doing. It's fine. Go to Woolworths, go to Pick and Pay, go shopping and see how much you're paying for the type of food you want and the standard you want.
And the freshness and the quality.
Yeah. And I think, guys, I'm going to say this to the people that are listening. Yeah, there's so many. I'm not, when I talk about these issues in entrepreneurship, people think, oh, Sia is doing the most. But there's so many incredible young black people in South Africa that are doing incredible things, such as Luyanda here. And come on, guys, pay for the services. If you can't afford it, don't approach. Simple as that. If you're not going to pay the growth, then don't approach. Because for me, the important thing is here is that Luyanda, the more money she makes, the more people she can hire. And in South Africa right now, don't have jobs. All the varsity students that are currently in varsity right now, when they walk out of varsity, you know, only 10% of them will have jobs. The rest, what's going to happen? You won't have jobs. And the only way to ensure the future of South Africa is through entrepreneurship. And I think it's also through government actively working to find people like Luyanda. Luyanda, did anyone fund your business?
I got given...
Given a capital injection by a friend of his.
But I
by
would need funding.
Not
yeah.
government. No, not private, no private friend. Did you not want to take that route in terms of getting a grant from government, or it just seemed inaccessible for you?
Right. Well, the direction I'm going in now, I will need one because I'm trying to build my own cooking studio. And my taste and the way it looks is going to need so much funding that it's... Yeah, let me actually post it now on the timeline and tag you guys so you guys can see the vision of where Cooking Land
is
going.
Here's a challenge. Let's help Luyanda find her studio. Let's do it.
And find Luyanda's studio.
What is the hashtag? Let's make a hashtag right now.
Is there a hashtag Build Leander Studio.
Hashtag Build Leander Studio. If you have any questions, please don't be afraid to WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. We are talking to Leander, the founder of Cooking with Leander. We're talking about the issues of being an entrepreneur. We're talking about her challenges of being a black woman pursuing this kind of career. Also, the hashtag is The Threaded Exchange. Do not be afraid to interact with us. I know we are saucy and we're spicy, but be spicy back. So, Luyanda, what are the other challenges involved in building this career? So, I mean, I touched on it earlier. You know, do you think your color and your sex put you at a disadvantage?
And your age?
The main thing, I think, is the fact that I'm not an actual qualified chef that went to culinary school. Because people... Yeah, you can see there's people on the timeline, like real chefs, like attached a bit. Like, they'll be like... Don't call yourself a chef. Don't do this. But it's fine. Jamie Oliver was not qualified.
Let's actually talk about this. I mean, I work in fashion, but I'm not qualified. I dropped out of LASOF after a year. everything I've done in fashion has been done through learning online and learning
exactly.
on the job.
That's what I do. So, YouTube.
So with you, with the established chefs who have gone to fashion school, who cook at these fancy hotels and fancy restaurants, do they sometimes try and make you feel inadequate?
Yeah, they do. They the subs on the timeline. Sometimes, like, you just see him being...
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about.
Is that Despejo the chef?
Guys, can we not do this?
Yeah. I know these guys.
Who's that?
I know this Lisejo the chef. He's like a famous chef that I met. He's a friend of mine, so I don't mind calling him out. But who, let's name and shame.
Yeah, because they do that thing of, they post like blog posts of what makes you, what can you call a chef, who you can call a chef, what you need to do, or like people really get touched about the chef term, and it's fine. But I know what drives me. I know my passion, my work. My work ethic, my drive, even though I don't know how to maybe sous vide perfectly a fish because you went to culinary school to do that, it does not mean that I am less of a chef, cook, or etc.
Can I make a public service announcement?
Yeah.
My public service announcement is that if you are sitting there and you call other people inadequate because they didn't study and they're pursuing a career that you studied for, fuck that shit. Work hard, put in the hours, put in the work.
That's
times
right.
have changed now. Times have changed. There's because no such thing.
Culinary school is so expensive, guys.
These days, as you know in South Africa, we don't have money to go to fashion school. We don't have money to spend on learning how to cook. You
exactly.
know, if we love it and we can't afford the money, are you telling us we shouldn't pursue it? Nah,
exactly.
man. There's the internet. There's social media now. We're going to learn how to do these things. And if you think your studies are going to carry you, forget.
And YouTube is a good teacher, guys.
Forget.
If anyone wants to blog and wants to pursue something, YouTube is your friend.
Guys, YouTube, the internet is your friend.
Because
like,
I learned how to make pasta from YouTube. And my mom bought me a pasta maker for my birthday. And
hey,
decided,
shout out mom.
She's a bomb. And then I decided to... And then I just watched YouTube videos, see how they do it. And I started rolling out pasta, made fresh pasta. And this was by myself.
It can be done. I have a question about, you know, your support system. I'm sure it's not difficult. I mean, it's not easy. Coming from, you know, you're in a black family. And black families traditionally want you to go the traditional route, funda, you know, get your degree. How difficult has it been to be able to garner support from, you know, your family and your friends? Because you're still studying, yes. But I think... It's that thing of, okay, let me just study so I can get this degree so that
yeah,
I can keep them quiet.
I generally, I'm studying, I'm just like, please kill me now because it's really not what I want to be doing. But because black parents think a degree is a safety net and that is the be all and end all, they also, black parents also want to tell people, oh, Mtanami has a degree, all that stuff. So it's very difficult studying, I won't even lie, because my mindset is all on food. But my support system is there because my mom stands for me. My mom comes to all my events. So my mom chops. I did a cooking class. My mom was busy greeting everyone and helping prep. She does everything. She'll take pics. I had a Woolworths collaboration and it was a bri event. She bribed all that meat, honestly. I just took pics. She bribed everything. So my mom really supports me. She hypes me up. If you go on her social media, it's actually, oh, look what Lulu did. Look what Leander's doing.
And it must feel great to know that you have that, you know, in your mom.
So it's great. But then also on the side, she'll be like, are you still studying? Are you going to school? And I'm like,
Did she ever think you're crazy for wanting to be a cook?
No, because we literally a food family. My grand used to teach culinary studies, but it's called home economics.
Yeah.
So she used to teach people, girls, how to cook, so that thing. So cooking has always been a thing in our family, and everyone can cook. All the guys in my family can cook because my grand taught them. Everyone can cook. If you can't cook, what were you doing when granny was on the stove? Like, what were you doing?
Yeah.
Baking, everything. So it's a family thing. So I think she definitely understands where it comes from, where it stems from, and how why the passion is there. But she still wants a degree.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Something to fall back on. Yay, African proverb. Good time home, then. I see you want to be a musician, but...
And I even tried to compromise. I was like, okay, let me study at UNISA. And then...
I think for some reason, I think that would have been more difficult.
No, I'm really, no, actually, it's better because that's what I do now. I really suck at sitting in class and thing. I'm better at, here's notes, here's an assignment due.
So oh, you're doing, okay. You're doing UNISA now?
No, I'm at UJ. I'm a
She's doing the UNISA process at UJ.
How is that? I mean, I know personally that, I mean, I did short courses at Vega and I struggled, man. Every single Thursday I wanted to go to class. There was either an event, there was either a photo shoot. And what I've realized now is I'm going to be Mark Zuckerberg. They must just give me an honorary doctorate. I'm done. No, really, guys. Like, not that I don't want to go back to school, but like, for me, just running this company full time, traveling, making it grow, it's not an excuse. I'm not saying people can't do both.
Yeah, no.
I've seen incredible people do both. Yeah. But I'm just sort of like, let me just grow this company into a $1 billion empire, and then they must give me honorary doctorates all over the place.
That's exactly. Oh, there has to be a way. Also, university needs to start accommodating black students and allowing them to work and study, because a lot of black students actually have to pay for their studies. They have to fund most of their life because circumstances don't allow for you just sit at home, everything is paid for. So they should allow that so that people can still study, get their degree, but at the same time be able to sustain their life. Yeah. So I think make ways. So maybe you'll say, okay, if you don't attend all tutorials, but you must submit the homework we give you.
I'm a firm believer in deadlines.
Yeah, just be like, okay, you can't attend all lectures, but okay, this is the homework from the lecture. You must do it and submit it online. Things like that. So try accommodate people who cannot always physically be there, because we're trying to chase careers, chase passions, and it's really difficult also at school to that.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, I've interned with students from Oxford, Columbia, Harvard, and these universities have funds within the school to help young entrepreneurs. Like, if you have an idea and you go to Harvard, you can actually go to a board and show them your idea and they'll help you fund it.
Mm.
And I don't know why in South Africa, you know, looking at our current economical situation and looking at the junk status, I don't know why we are not making an active effort to fund entrepreneurs, number one, and to provide education. I feel like entrepreneurship and education is the future of South Africa, but we're hearing about all these trillions of money being invested, but they're not accessible. Now, Luyanda must spend 5 hours she doesn't have filling out this form online to convince government to fund her dream. Like, it should be more accessible. It should
chances of food dreams, they'll be like, studio for food. Because definitely, they'll be like, okay, you want a food studio? Okay, and then
what's gonna happen? How are you gonna make money out of it?
And
I know all the questions.
Now it's like, okay, I'm gonna be doing cooking classes. I'll be doing training, and then people will not understand. I'm like, chances of me getting funding are really slim for the studio, simply because people don't understand food yet or take it as a serious career path right now.
Yeah, Sfuni mining. Bazo check out Sfuni mining.
Mining.
We want mining.
Like
mining
those type of things.
Food. What are you telling us? You're a blogger. You want to grow an agency. What are you saying? You're joking.
And I'm trying to have a full-fledged studio. Yeah.
Luyanda, thank you so much for chatting to us. There's so much we can chat about. But I want to say that I'm a huge fan of your work. And
thank
I think
you.
You're really, really inspiring. And it's been amazing watching your growth. And Siswam, there's going to be many challenges you'll face on this journey. You know, people aren't going to pay on time. There'll be times where there's zero amounts left in your bank account. I'm sure you've experienced that.
Yeah.
There'll be times where people are celebrating your success when you know that there is no success to celebrate because you're on the other side. But don't give up. And don't give in. When it's a bad day, still go out there and smile and slay. Don't ever show them how hard it is. You know, you just keep thriving, keep going. The money will come and go, but the passion will live forever. And I'm excited about your journey. What are the last words you have for young people who are in school, in high school, or in varsity, and they also have this cooking itch, and they want to cook? What can they do?
Just feed your passion. Cook, try things, experiment, and don't give up on your dream, because passion drives you. It will take you anywhere in the world. Passion feeds, it will feed you, trust me, because you're nothing without the passion, and if you have it, don't let go of it.
Can I just laugh for a second? Literally, your passion feeds you. Literally, like,
yeah, it feeds
if,
me.
If I don't have money, if I don't have money, like, styling can't feed me, like, clothes can't feed me. But you,
fashion feeds me.
You, if you sort out your groceries, if you don't have money, you just cook.
If I just open your the passion, fridge, yeah, you can your, make something
your
work.
Your passion will literally feed you. I think, yeah, on my end as well, man, and on going on your words, Luyana Mafanya is feed your passion, guys. Exactly. Feed your passion every day. Put in your 10,000 hours. If you're at school, school's not the end of the all. Go study, but then also put in extra hours. Go out there and intern, badger people, build your own door, put yourself on, exactly. Keep doing the work.
Annoy people. Hours. Trust me. Do you know how you must email these execs, email these people, and bug them. Let them know that you are there and you are not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, and hi, Dad. Hi, Fikile. I know you guys.
Shout out to your family.
Shout out to the fam.
Can I? Where can people find you? Give us your social media. Promote yourself. What are you doing next?
Just the poster hasn't come out, but I'm doing a Father's Day cooking class, father and child cooking class.
Cute.
So you and Daddy can come cook.
If you've been a missing father, this is the opportunity to reconnect with your child.
Yeah, so it's gonna be a cute cooking class with Daddy. There's Valentine's partnering us, so the dads are gonna have some whiskey, good times. That's my next cooking class. It's on the 18th on Father's Day, and follow me on Twitter. Cooking with Luyana.
Can I go to that class with someone that's not my dad?
Aye. Also, I really wanted
not that kind of dad. Not that kind of dad.
I'm actually putting an age restriction because I do not want situations. Yeah. Okay. Twitter, Cook with Luyana, Instagram, Cooking with Luyana, and Facebook, Cooking with Luyana. If you really want the lit side of me, like the real me, you can follow me on Luyana Math on Twitter.
Yes, there it is, guys. The next installment of the 3D has come to an end, but we've got new episodes that are going to be coming out. We've got more exciting guests, more exciting things, and I think it's only fitting for this show to play out with the original Black Girl Bad talent for days, and also just to inspire you, you know, Luyana, when you go out there and you feel like, who should I channel today? And I think we can all channel Brenda Fassie, and this is her, one of my favorite songs by her. It's called Amalahle. CliffCentral.com.